Hey, it's John from CityCast. If you're in the mood to pamper yourself a little bit this week while supporting cruelty-free products, you should check out Bon Coeur Home and Wellness. It's the best place in Portland to find everything from chic home decor to cannabis accessories. They've got a curated collection of vegan and cruelty-free home goods and wellness products because their name is French for kind heart, after all. You'll get a 20% discount on your first order when you sign up for emails this week at boncoeur.net. That's boncoeur.net and use the code BONCOEURCITYCAST20.
Early last month, Vietnamese restaurant Pho Gabo closed the doors to its northeast location for good after a neighbor persistently complained to the city about food odor. Now, these complaints left the owner without a business and mounting city fines, and it also led many to ask who exactly these odor-related city codes were actually serving. So today on CityCast Portland, we're talking with Willamette Week arts and culture reporter Rachel Saslow, who broke the story and continued to follow it. Rachel will lay out what happened, share a few details she didn't publish, and update us on where things landed. It's Monday, March 25th. I'm Claudia Meza, and this is what Portland's talking about. So this story really upset a bunch of people. I don't know. It was like one of those like shooting star stories where it burned real bright. People were like, what the heck? And then it seemingly became resolved, but there's still just so many loose ends. And this is why you're here, because I'm just so curious about like the impact. Can you walk us through what happened?
Sure. So we heard about the story because there was a sign on the front of the restaurant that said, due to the city's and the neighborhood's complaints about the smell of the food that we grill and the foods that we serve customers, we are temporarily closing this location. And we saw that on social media and we were like, we should probably check this out. So I called the owner, Eddie, and he started telling me this crazy story about how there was a person in his neighborhood who has repeatedly called the city for a year and a half complaining about the smell of the restaurant, saying it smells like grilling meat, it smells like a wok dish. And this person really did not relent. And so many fines had built up that he really had no recourse but to close the restaurant. He couldn't afford to keep fighting this fight. And so what I did was I pulled the city record and I got the entire document of every single time this person called, and his or her name was redacted in the documents. The person is just called Com, C-O-M, which I think means complainant. That's okay. How I interpreted it. Every single time he or she called and every single time the city inspector came out. And it was a very, very long document. And I just started calling. I called Eddie. I called the landlord of the restaurant. I called the city. And then I ran the story. And then from there, it just sort of took on a life of its own.
Yeah. Could you tell us a little bit about the city's initial response? Because this is what I think boggled most people, is that you would think that the city would hear someone being like, hey, this restaurant smells like food. And the city would be like, oh no, moving on.
Right. So the city was very open with me. They sent me all of the zoning and odor code documents to show exactly what rules they are following. And it really does appear that they were following the exact protocol. Someone calls and complains, and then an inspector from the Bureau of Development Services goes out and tries to investigate the smell. One thing that is strange, well, I thought was strange, but is actually pretty typical in cities, is that there's no actual scientific instrument for evaluating smell. So if someone is complaining about noise, you can tell how many decibels the jackhammer is or whatever. But for smell, there's no actual instrument. So the whole thing depends on the city inspector's nose. And they just go out, smell the air, walk around the neighborhood and figure out if there's actually a problem. And indeed, pretty much every time they went out, they could smell cooking smells. I counted through, and it was about a dozen times they went out over the course of a year and a half.
Oh, my God.
And it was two different inspectors went out. It was a pretty, I mean, maybe that's typical. I don't know. It seemed like a pretty large output of energy. You know, they had to take these complaints seriously.
Yeah, that's crazy. I live by a Burgerville. You know, it smells like a Burgerville. And I couldn't even imagine that being a thing for me to complain about. You know, like for it to be like, oh, I'm going to tell the city, I don't want to smell these fries. Like, it's so weird. Could you tell us a bit? Because I know that the city was like, hey, you guys could maybe filtrate your like exhaust. And they talked to Eddie about a 40,000 air filtration system that even they were like, and we don't know if it's going to work. Could you tell us about that? Because like, that sounded insane.
So Eddie had a few options to try to solve the problem. And he really worked really hard with the city to try and find a solution. So he researched carbon air filters. He had contractors come and see if the exhaust pipe needed to be extended upwards so that it was blowing the cooking smells further away from the neighborhood. He hired someone to do a deep clean of the entire exhaust system. That did not help. Finally, a contractor came that the city recommended, and the person said, you know, the only way that you really can do this is installing a $40,000 air filtration system. However, Eddie correctly said to me, you know, there's no guarantee that if he installs the $40,000 filtration system, this person will not continue calling the city to complain about the smell of the restaurant. So then you sort of get into the idea of, well, what is this person's agenda? Is it really a smell agenda? This is sort of starting to feel like a vendetta. Is it personal? Mm-hmm. Is it race-based? You kind of start to spiral into what is going on here. So anyway, he did not install the $40,000 filtration system. He's a small business owner. He could not afford it. The fines were starting to build up. They were doubling every month.
I can't believe that he got fined to begin with.
Right. The city actually held off on the fines while Eddie was trying to troubleshoot and find a solution. I think they held off on fining him for like 6 to 12 months. And then finally, they started fining him. And then once those started doubling, he felt he had no other option but to close that location of Fagabo.
Yeah. And so Eddie didn't know this person at all. Like, it's not someone that, like, Eddie didn't steal this person's girl or accidentally run over their dog. Like, there was, like, absolutely no relationship between them, right?
No, there was no relationship. And he says he does not know who it is. Obviously, the city knows who it is, but they would not tell me. It's not in the documents. And the landlord says he does not know who it is. The landlord also lives in that neighborhood, I think, about a block away. So they don't know who it is.
Wow. And how did the rest of Gabo's neighbors react to all this? Because I looked at the location and, you know, it's not really in a super walkable neighborhood. This restaurant seems like the closest one for a lot of folks in that area. I can imagine that they were a little bummed that it was going to go away. But I'm curious if you heard from any of those neighbors or if they were supportive in any way.
Well, I did hear from Eddie that one neighbor on the last day when Eddie told the neighborhood we have to close, one neighbor ate there four times that day to like in like a sad last ditch effort to eat as much pho as possible in the neighborhood. So I think it was a very beloved restaurant. So this is actually one of three locations of Fagabo. There's one in Hillsborough and one in Happy Valley. And Eddie has noticed a slight bump of about 10 to 15% in business at his other two locations of people supporting him. So, but that is a haul from Northeast 72nd and Fremont to Happy Valley or Hillsborough. So I don't think it's like going to be part of their regular rotation like it would be if he was still on the same block, of course.
Yeah. I also heard there's like always been an Asian restaurant in that location for almost 30 years, and Fagabo has only been there for 5. So it's really interesting that this person is complaining about Fagabo, you know, smelling like a wok or whatever they were saying that felt a little racially based. Part of me wonders if they were like new there.
I mean, really all we have is speculation. I will tell you that Eddie thinks that the person who moved in was someone who had moved in recently, and he heard that the complainant was a vegetarian who couldn't stand the smell of the meat cooking. Like, it truly offended their senses and their values.
Oh my God!
So that was sort of on background, but didn't make it into the story.
Did you? Oh, that didn't make it into the story? Oh, Rachel. Oh my God. My entire story would have been like racist vegetarian.
It didn't make it into the story because nobody would tell it to me straight exactly like that. So I had to sort of like do little write arounds in terms of some of the racial stuff and some of the vegetarian stuff. Unless I could really talk to the person who had called for a year and a half, I couldn't really confirm either of those things in a very satisfying way. So I sort of like wrote around it a little bit, but mm-hmm. that is what I heard.
So this isn't confirmed. This is what was being said.
That was what was being said in the neighborhood.
I understand why you didn't publish it, but I love this nice piece of gossip.
Happy to help.
It does feel like a certain type of Portlander that Portlanders also hate. Do you know what I mean? Where you're just like, oh, man, come on. You're making us all look bad.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, that's so unfortunate. I hope that's not the truth of the matter, because that would be
just a bad look for vegetarians.
Oh my God. Did your head hurt like when you first heard that? That immediately you're just like, dude, like, what are you doing? They're like, no, this is, I have plant-based racism. It's different.
Plant-based racism. I feel like in the reporting process, I was really trying, I mean, obviously, to see both sides. I did feel like the city inspector, Justin Lindley, put it really well to me. He said, I love the smell of barbecue, but if you live next door and your house is inundated with odors all day long, that is a lot. And then I also heard from readers who lived like on the same block as a bakery, and they said, of course, yes, I love the smell of cookies and baked bread. But if you don't have a choice, if you're smelling that all day long in your own home, that would be really hard. So I tried to put myself in the place of both parties. Well, all three, the restaurant, the mm-hmm. city, and the neighbor who is having a hard time with the smell. So that was my goal. And I tried to really show all of those perspectives.
Wow. Okay.
You're reeling?
Yeah, I'm still reeling. Oh my God. It's just the thought of like, you know, you needing so much, that entitlement. Sorry, we're going to move on because I'm like still reeling. You know what? Actually, let's just take a quick break here. And when we return, I want to hear what Pho Gabo's landlord had to say about all of this.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
I heard that the landlord said that the community had been changing a lot because in that area, Northeast, there's a lot of Vietnamese restaurants. There's a lot of Vietnamese businesses. And the landlord stated like, yeah, that's slowly going away. Like, did you get a read on that?
Yeah. So the landlord is Scott Everest, and he lives about 500 yards away from Pho Gabo. His father and uncle actually constructed the building themselves in 1962 and used it as an auto parts shop. So wow. He has very deep roots in the neighborhood. And he said that, you know, the community had been changing a lot and the Vietnamese businesses are sort of disappearing. So this did feel like a little bit of a gentrification story at one point. You know, there's a lot of different angles to it, but mm-hmm. Eddie having to close sort of was another hit to the Vietnamese community in that neighborhood.
Yeah. Did Scott at all say that, like, you know, this restaurant really does have a lot of food smells and I could see why somebody would not want that? Or was he more like, what the hell, man? It's a restaurant.
Not at all. I mean, the landlord was so supportive. The landlord had his lawyer write a letter to the city arguing on behalf of Eddie and saying, you know, this has been a restaurant that has served Asian food for 30 years. We have never had a problem until this person moved into the neighborhood and started calling. So the landlord very much had Eddie's back. He said Eddie has been a great tenant for the last 5 years. He, I know, gave him some wiggle room on rent while he was figuring all of this out. So the landlord really had his back.
Man.
Yeah.
That's a good landlord. You know, I saw that a lot of Vietnamese American state representatives spoke out about this closure. Like, they really banded together, wrote a letter. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah. So one morning I got a letter from 5 Vietnamese American state representatives. They got together and issued a statement saying that, you know, this situation is looking like a small business is being targeted for his race, and small businesses should have more recourse to fight the city when there's something so personal coming at them like this. And they also wrote that Commissioner Carmen Rubio has been working on the issue and they really appreciated her work on it.
Could you explain to our listeners, like, why these state representatives would call out Commissioner Rubio in their letter?
Carmen Rubio oversees the Bureau of Development Services, so this really is her domain. It wasn't like she just...
She has to do something about it.
Yeah, exactly. This is her area that she's in charge of it in city council. So that's why it's her.
Yeah. Anyhow, so you talked a little bit about what the city is doing right now to look into these policies. I'm just curious, like, how a single person can shut down a restaurant for smelling like food when not a single person could shut down, like, actual air pollution. Like, businesses that also smell. Like, I live across the river from the critical energy infrastructure hub, and I swear to God, Rachel, it reeks of, like, gas in my neighborhood. And I can't call the city and be like, hey guys, and that's actually, I'm like, and that's probably killing me, you know? Like, I wish it was delicious barbecue.
That's where you're wrong, Claudia. That's where you're wrong. You can call the city over and over and over for 18 months, and they will have to investigate it. It's really a story of this person's, I mean, it's a story about a lot of things, but you're asking how one person can shut down a restaurant. This person was so persistent. They really, really could not stand the smell of this restaurant, and they did not quit. They never quit. It was emails. It was calls. It never stopped. And so the city, they have to go continue investigating it. And then because it's just their nose, they had to say, you know, yes, it does indeed still smell like food. So it just, I don't know. This is why Commissioner Rubio is looking into it. She is seeing, is there something in our zoning code that there's a loophole that this person exposed? And they're trying to see if there's something in the code that they need to tighten up so that small businesses, especially minority-owned small businesses, are not vulnerable in this way.
Because, I mean, that does set up... I know we're making jokes and we're plant-based racism and all this, but it is a loophole. If you hate them, you have a vendetta, you're like, I'm going to shut this person down. It's an easy way to do that. So, yeah, I can see why you would want to look at that. Are there any updates with that? Do you know, like, if the code, if anything is passed or, like, what's going on with that?
I haven't heard anything back from Commissioner Rubio's office lately. I mean, the odor codes, I think the last time they were updated, it was like 1991. I think they found stuff from the 40s. I mean, these are old, very entrenched codes. So Commissioner Rubio is looking into it. But I mean, there's like a million steps to changing government there. So I have not heard any updates in terms of any of those investigations or anything coming to anything yet. But I do talk to Eddie every week. And he was very overwhelmed in a positive way and so grateful to Willamette Week for the reporting and for shining a light on this issue. And it was very positive and he seemed really upbeat. And then this week when I have talked to him, he really, for the first time started sounding really stressed and really kind of down about his new financial reality, which is that he used to own 3 pho restaurants and now he owns 2 pho restaurants, but he still has expenses on the Northeast Fremont location because his lease isn't up until the end of December. So he still has rent, but he's not making any money there. And he still has to pay off these city fines. So he's really stressed about money and trying to look at his options.
It's too bad the city can't just be like, our bad, or this is a terrible system. No fines, you know?
That would be a great outcome.
Is there any chance you think that he'll reopen in that location now that the city is involved and is like, you know, this was pretty dumb?
I've asked him that a few times in the last month, and he's really never even wiggled on that issue. I really don't think he will be opening again in that location for a few reasons. One, all this baggage and this entire like backstory. I think that is good reason that this would not be a good location for him. 2, the landlord, Scott Everest, was planning on selling that building anyway, completely unrelated to any of this. So I think Eddie sort of already saw the writing on the wall that this location maybe wasn't a forever home for his restaurant. And I don't really think he is looking for a new like Portland location at this point, because he's really still unraveling all of the paperwork and fines and fallout from this issue.
Damn.
Yeah.
Oh, that sucks. You know, with these types of stories, I'm sure you know this because like you work in a newsroom, but these stories, they come, they kind of take over your mind for a sec. And then, and everyone's like, oh, it gets an uproar. Then they go away. But that person whose story it was, that's their life. Like they still have to exist in that space of outrage and all the fallout. And it's just such a bummer that like, sometimes I just wish that like, this isn't on you, Rachel, but I wish that like journalism could like somehow lead to a bit more than just like, man, that sucked. Anyhow, you know what I mean?
Like anyhow,
next story. I mean, I know that of course journalism leads to actual shame. It's the reason we're here, but like, oh man, for these types of things, it's just like, dang, you know, like, does he have a GoFundMe?
He does have a GoFundMe. He does have a GoFundMe.
Okay. We'll put his GoFundMe. We'll link to it.
You should absolutely link to his GoFundMe. Yeah, I mean, that's sort of, I feel as a journalist, we are here to shine the light. We're not necessarily there to fix the problem. Honestly, the outcome from this story of the state legislators getting involved and then what Carmen Rubio's office did is honestly so far beyond what I expected. I don't know if you know the backstory that I just started on the arts and culture desk 3 weeks ago. I guess it's been 4 weeks now. But when this article came out, I think it was my second week of work. So I just was not expecting to have my journalism change city zoning code on the arts and culture desk like within 2 weeks. So it's just already the outcome is so far beyond what I would have ever thought the journalism would have done. So I'm so grateful that I was able to shine the light and make concrete change. I wish it was more change that would help Eddie directly right now. Obviously, that would be nice. But you just kind of have to like tell the story as honestly and thoroughly as you can. And then the rest you sort of have to just let go of and let it live in the world and see what happens.
Yeah, I'm happy to hear that things are moving forward. Hopefully it's not just a lot of talk, because, you know, I just feel like sometimes the city's like, we're working on that. And then like 5 years later, they're like, we're still working on that. I hope this doesn't happen to any other restaurant. And I just can't believe that the only thing that I'm walking away with is it is inspiring. Didn't know that if I were super annoying, I could get stuff fixed, you know, quote unquote, fixed for my liking in this neighborhood. So that's something to think about. That's something for all of us to go home and think
about. That's a great takeaway. No.
Seriously. Well, much love to Eddie Dong. And thank you, Rachel, for all your work. This story was deeply upsetting. And I'm so glad somebody, you know, covered it. So thank you.
Oh, my gosh. Thank you so much. Thanks for having me on.
We reached out to Commissioner Rubio's team for any updates on policy changes concerning the odor codes, and they directed me towards a statement she made on her Facebook page from March 6th. I'll read a little of what she wrote. Upon learning about this issue, my office has met with the impacted business owner and has directed the Bureau of Development Services to put in place an immediate pause on odor complaints tied to food establishments and launched an immediate evaluation of the relevant code to make recommendations on changes. Per our state zoning laws, those recommendations would then be evaluated by the Planning Commission and then go to City Council for final approval. While the timing is dependent on several internal and external factors, including public comment, my goal is to see the code changes happen as soon as possible. Well, that's all for today here on CityCast Portland. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back tomorrow morning with more from around the city. Until then, see you at Slim's.